Well, today, as you've seen, we're talking about raising hope. And we're talking to parents, and the ironic thing is that I had like five different couples text me and say, we'll never be there today, we're out of town. So I'm like, great, I'm supposed to be preaching to the parents, and they're not here. Well, this message is not only for the parents. Guys, young people, sometimes for parents it's already too late. Their kids are growing up, and a lot of times you just cannot change what you've done. You just can't start in the middle of the road and start making new rules. I've heard that from parents. We just can't. But you know what, young people, and our church is blessed with many young people. Listen, you can learn a lot from this. Before you know it, you will be married, you will have children. And you would thank me that I was teaching these stuff to you, because it's tough to learn as you go. It's better to know a little bit of experience. That's why when we marry somebody, we give them premarital classes. Don't they help? Those who've been through them, they do help. Amen. Amen. So when you get into it, you know what to expect, what to do, and things like that. So young people, this message is for you. Now, don't go having babies now, okay? That's not what it's, women love having babies, but don't go having them yet. Let's get you married first, go through a premarital class, and then you can have as many babies as you want. The more, the merrier. Cheaper by the dozen, whatever. Whatever you want. Babies are a blessing. Amen. Listen. My message is not going to be more of a preaching type today. I want to do more of a parent-to-parent talk, father-to-father type thing. And I would like to do something different today. I want to bring out Pastor Tanya up here. Come on. Come sit by me. Come on. Come sit at my left.
Check, one, two.
Because we want to do type of a parent-to-parent talk. If you're a parent today, or if you know parents today, it's hard to raise children in our modern day world. The diversity of evil available out there for our children is multiplied by 25. When you look at TV, when you look at movies, horror movies, when you look at video games, guys, there's a lot of evil that our children see that we didn't see when we were growing up. Mm-hmm. If you're older. Amen? Video games today is like, if you see them, you just blow somebody in half. And blood is gushing all over. And that's like normal. Mm-hmm. I was in Walmart and Batman was on. So I came by. I had some time to kill. I was repairing my something in my car or a truck. And I played Batman. Man, that thing is... The game, it's negative. The music is negative. The laugh is evil. And I'm like, our kids are playing it today. So the diversity of evil is humongous out there. It's hard for parents today to raise children. Listen to me. Most parents do not raise their children. Somebody else does. Let me read you a quote that I just kind of came up with as I was preparing. Raising children is like programming a computer. If you don't program it, somebody else will. Would you agree with that? Raising children is like programming a computer. It cannot be empty. Kids are like sponges. They want to receive whatever is out there. Their souls are born empty. And they hunger for information. Either we put information in them, or somebody else will put information in them. And if garbage is in, garbage out. That's an old computer term, if you know, from early 90s. Some of you were not even born yet. But it's garbage in, garbage out. Children, mostly today, if you talk about raising children, are raised on their own. And that's the sad part. That if we don't put into our children, somebody else is putting something in our children. You know who's doing it? The television is doing it. The movies are doing it. The MTV is doing it. Lady Gaga is sure doing it. And we might think, well, I'm doing an okay job raising my children. I am, I'm a pretty good person. But the point is, if you're not putting some kind of a program into your children, somebody else is putting what you don't want in them. Tanya, you want to say something? Go ahead.
I want to go back to the movies, and I just wanted to say, even just for ourselves, we live in our culture, and you read the Bible, and then you look at our culture, and it's almost like we have to be aliens. We're not part, and which the Bible tells us we're not part of this world. So it's really hard to follow this word in this world, and we make it only harder for ourselves, because I'm not saying you guys are doing it. I know the movies I've watched before, and I know the movies we're all watching. They are putting ideas into us that we later on will have to fight against. You know, so if you the sex before marriage, promiscuity, you know you want to be fighting against it. But if you watch movies every single day over and over with that in it, with homosexuality in it, how are you going to be fighting it? Because it becomes part of you. So if before it was, you know, black and white, Christian, not Christian, then now we all live in kind of gray or almost dark area. And I just want to encourage not just, you know, you, myself, gory movies with, you know, a lot of bloodshed, where, you know, have you noticed you'll watch a movie and somebody gets shot and it's like, okay, you know, somebody, a person just lost a life. They're not going to live, they're not going to breathe anymore. They're not going to do anything. And that's it. They're done. And for us, it's like, okay, you know, who cares? Let's move to watch the movie. That's not normal. That's not okay.
The movie that's out there right now, and I heard that a lot of our people are seeing it, is the Hangover movie. I don't know if you've seen it or not. But as a Christian, I don't know how you can sit and watch that type of a movie and not feel convicted. David says, I will not put an evil thing in front of my eyes. And as a Christian, you need to discern what you're putting in front of your eyes, because that's what you will fight in the future. Why would you want to put an enemy inside of yourself to later to fight with? Because you know what? Our greatest enemy is ourselves. So when we watch something, we allow things to come in our minds, in our hearts, and then later they come out and they want to play. And then you're like, well, I don't want to do this. But sometimes we're so penetrated by the world that we can't resist anymore.
We don't even know that we should be fighting it, because it's just so much part of us that everybody's doing it. Why not? What's the problem? What's the big deal? So just a little encouragement. Screen. Nobody's going to tell you what to do and what to watch. You yourself screen your movies, your shows, what you watch. Be responsible. And
the scripture for today, if you can open it, please, to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Because we're talking about raising children. And the kind of children we want to raise is God-loving and God-fearing children. Listen, our generation, Christian churches, have so messed up on this part that it's not even funny. Most, the common knowledge, the common consensus is this, that my children will go in the world, mm-hmm. sow their wild oats, and hopefully they'll learn from their mistakes and come back. That's the common consensus today. Nobody even almost expects their children to be godly children and almost take that fire that we've been carrying and take it further. Mm-hmm. We expect them to fall back down and then hopefully come back and be good Christians again. And you know what the Bible says? Train up a child in the way that he should go or she should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. That's the kind of children God wants us to raise. But what it takes is teaching and training. We must train our children. But who has time to train children in this modern day, people? Let me tell you our schedule. We wake up. Most families have this schedule. We wake up in the morning. It's hectic in our house in the morning. Kids get breakfast. Tanya does her makeup. I sleep in a little late. Read my Bible. There's no time really to teach your children, what I'm saying is. Then you go to work, to school. By the time you get from work, it's 6 o'clock. And guess what? You're tired. All you want to do is have some dinner. You have some dinner. Then you want to watch your show at 7 or 8. And at 8:15 or 8:30, your kids go to bed. Fathers, mothers, when is the time to teach our children? Really, if we're honest, parents don't teach or train their children these days. Would you agree? Parents do not teach, they do not train children today. The only place they learn is school, which is mostly secular, liberal. They learn it on TV, which is secular and liberal. They learn it in music, which is secular and liberal. Amen? And then we expect them to, when they become teenagers, to be godly, you know. And then we bring them to church for a youth group. And the interesting thing is that most youth groups are a joke. Seriously, most youth groups are a joke. When I was a teenager, I went to a few youth groups in different churches. And all we did was for an hour, we played games. And at the end, we prayed together. We had pizza, we played games, and then we prayed together. How do you even think that your children are going to grow up godly and God-fearing and God-loving children if all they did was play around? In most kids' church and Sunday schools, there's a lot of games. There's a lot of coloring going on. Not a lot of doctrine being put in. So where do our children learn to be godly children, to live for Jesus, to love Jesus, to fear God, if it's not in our homes? And we have no time in our homes. Would you agree? There's basically no time. But Bible says, don't expect godly children if you don't train them, if you don't teach them. You can jump in here anytime.
I think our teaching comes down to this. They do something wrong. We run in the room. I told you a million times, don't do that. And then I'll go back and like, I probably never actually told them not to do that. And you know, but I feel good. I taught them today.
What we do is we restrain them or we threaten them when they do something wrong. But listen, you cannot discipline your child unless previously you taught them that was wrong. How can you come to a kid and say, you did something wrong, and now you're going to be punished, when you never told them? So parents don't discipline anymore today. You know why? Because they never taught them. And they feel guilty. How can I discipline you when I never told you the rules? Kids don't grow up knowing the rules automatically. They don't know the principles of the Word of God or what's good or what's not good. Amen. And so our job as parents is to teach, second to train, and third is to discipline. How can you expect your child to be a professional pianist if you never taught him the basics, showed him how to do it, and then made him be disciplined? And discipline is not punishing them or beating them. Discipline is making him do what you taught him to do. You follow through. Amen. So, I want to go to point number one, and point number one is this. God gives responsibility of raising children to their parents. It's not a job of school to raise your children. You know they're not going to raise you godly children. It's not the job of television to raise you godly children. It's not even the job of the church to raise godly children. Each parent is responsible for raising godly children. Fathers, mothers, it is your responsibility as a father, especially you, as a leader of your home. If you are one parent family, then it's a mother. Responsibility is to train the children. Now, do you know that our families are a little churches? Do you know, fathers, that you are a pastor of a church? A lot of you, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. If you are if you're a father, you are a pastor of your church. Klimchuk's family church. Wildeber's family church. Rosenquist or family church. See, you are a church. And listen, most people bring your kids to church and then think, that's it, I'm done. But if you don't reinforce it during the week, they'll just think that's what we do on Sunday. It has nothing to do with my Monday through Saturday life. That's all we do is we go to church and that's it. That's what it means to be a Christian, going to church. No, you must have time set aside for a weekly family gathering. Your wife, if a husband is a pastor of a church, wife is an associate pastor of the church. Your most organized kid is the head usher in your family church. Your most singing, the one that loves music in your family, is the worship leader. Yeah. That's serious stuff. The ones who's the happiest in your family is the greeter. Amen. See, God made it for your family to be a church. Bible says whatever two or three are gathered together in my name, that's a church. Church is not a building, it's the people. It's two or three gathered together. If you have at least two in your family, you can have and you should have church. Don't make it. Parents, don't make a mistake thinking that on Sunday school or in youth group, they will take care of your children. No, they're having fun up there. They're trying to entertain your children. It's your job to teach them. You know that recently we had to have a crazy talk with our kids. Our kids are 6 and 7. And guess what? We had to talk about homosexuality with them. Yeah. Parents, when do you talk to your kids about these things? Who teaches them? You know what the world is going to teach them. We see it. We see our kids say, well, what about two moms and two dads? They asked us these things. Mm-hmm. I'm like, where do you hear this? You go to Christian school. But they do watch TV. The spirit of the world has a wave. And even if you are not watching TV, it's still going through you. So if you're not renewed with the Word of God, you will hear things and you will automatically will have these thoughts. They're not biblical thoughts. And so imagine us sitting with a 6-year-old and 7-year-old and telling that homosexuality is wrong. God created Adam and Eve. And we had to go back and say that, you know, the reason it's wrong because it can't reproduce. It can't have children. You can adopt children, of course, but you can't have children. And that's a tough talk to have with your children. Mm-hmm. But guess where it happens? In the family church. And pastors of churches, men in this building, and moms too, if you're single moms, don't be afraid. You have to sit down and teach your children what is right or wrong. When was the last time you really sat there and taught your children a Bible story? Very important. And then we say, well, our children are not godly children. You know, they'll make mistakes and they'll come back to God. Most of them will not come back. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And instead of our children winning the next generation for God, we have to win them. So we have to do the work again. And God says here, train up a child in a way that he should go, and he will not depart. Parents, fathers, your responsibility is to train your children.
If you don't have any kids yet, and I know we've been kind of deceived by that, and you know, I thought like that, well, we don't have any kids, we have our own prayer time, so you know, we kind of don't need to have, you know, family church. And then when kids are small, you're like, you know, they're small, like they're babies, you know, really. And then if it's not a habit, you're just not gonna. Then kids are like, what do you want me, you know, to sit with you and like sing with you? Like that's weird. And you're just not gonna start doing it. So start doing it now. And just before you have kids. And then it's just gonna be part of you. This is what we do as a family. This is our family's thing. And before you got here, we did it. So you're doing it with us. So.
When Alex Jr. was born, he liked to wake up early in the morning. And that was my morning prayer, my hour of prayer. And especially in the winter, he was born in the winter. And I remember Tanya was, kind of being with him all through the night. But I would wake up early in the morning around 6 and I would take him and put him on my shoulder. And for an hour, I would be walking with him and praying. Just in the room, just walking with him and praying. And he would not cry when I would pray. And so what he would do was he would just fall asleep. And later when he grew up, he would ask me, "Dad, what is this language you pray in?" You know, and he would say, "Blah, blah, 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 blah. What is that you're praying?" "Son, that's me praying in tongues. It's the language of the Spirit. I don't even know what I'm praying, but the Spirit does. You know, he takes the words and makes sense out of them. And I worship God and pray mysteries and things like that." So now they're okay with that. They don't pray in it yet, but, you know, hopefully, eventually, they will pray it as well. Mm-hmm. So it's so important to have time set in every moment, every opportunity. Listen to this in Deuteronomy. Vadim actually read this, I think, last week. You read Deuteronomy 6:6. It says this: "And these words I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house." Listen to this, parents. This is when you teach your children. When you sit in a house, you teach your children. When you walk by the way. So when you're taking a walk, you teach your children. When you lie down, you teach your children. When you rise up, you shall bind them on the signs of your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Some of you are into tattoos, right? And you put like a little skull or something. If you want to put a scripture on your hand, I'm not saying to get tattoos, but if you're going to put a tattoo, put a scripture, put a commandment that you struggle with the most. Write it down, you know, so you can see it. That's what the Bible says. But the point is that God says that, listen, you have to take every opportunity to teach your children. That's what it means to train up a child, and he will not walk away from it when he is old. So what we did was, Tanya, and you could probably share with us, when our children became 4 and 5, I realized that they're already speaking and understanding. You know, they're asking questions. And I'm like, what should we do? So I would find myself taking my children to school, right? And as I would take them to school, I would listen to music or talk radio. And guess what they would do? Fight. In the back, they would just fight. And they would just yell, and I would be like, "Shut up in the back there! You know, would you be quiet? You know, just..." And I felt guilty. I'm like, "Lord..." And the scripture, the Lord brought this scripture to me. He's like, "Everywhere you are, you have to teach your children." And I'm like, "Okay." And he spoke to me for a few weeks. I didn't listen right away. You know how we are. We don't listen right away. And he spoke to me. And I was like, "Okay, Father, I will do something about it." And so I started talking to them about Bible stories. And I'm like... First I talked like Joseph, David, and then I ran out. Daniel, you know, I ran out. And the Lord said, "Why don't you start from the beginning? And tell them every story there is from the beginning." And so I'm like, "Okay, cool." So I started telling them from Genesis. And in 1 year, school year, we got to only Kings, 1 Kings. Every story in the Bible that's, you know, that's relevant. I would skip, you know, Numbers and things like that. And you could skip that, you know. You know, don't have to give them a whole bunch of names. And I started telling them these stories. And it became so effective that even when I would forget sometimes, you know, in the morning you're grouchy and kind of sleepy. And you'll see, we want to show a video of that right now, because we took a video of that. Every time I would get out of garage and they would be like, "Dad, tell us a story." And so I would have like 15 minutes to get them to school. And in 15 minutes, I had an opportunity to impart into them the Word of God. You know that you don't need 5 hours to teach them, you know, like a school day to teach them. You just need a few minutes to talk to them about God. And before I knew it, they were pushing me, "Dad, tell us a story." And because remember, kids are like sponges. Mm-hmm. They hunger for knowledge. And they will be filled with knowledge. Just what kind of knowledge? Every morning, what we do, I tell them a short story from the Bible, and then I ask them what they learned. And then later, I started asking him even further. I was like, kids, what did God say to you today through this story? So I would teach him to listen to what God would say to them through the story. And one story that was that I was surprised when I was telling them about Solomon asking for wisdom. And Abby said, I think the Lord said to me, above everything, ask for wisdom. And I was like, wow, that touched my heart. Guys, you don't need, parents, we don't need a lot of time with our children. We don't have a lot of time. But we have to take every opportunity. Because the world is bombarding our children with information. And if we don't put good information in them, we can't expect them to be godly children. And the most important thing in this world is for them to know God and to worship God. The next thing we would do is we came up with a service during the week. Can you tell us about that service? On Wednesday, we have it.
Should we just show it?
Well, I mean, tell us first.
We just get together, and we usually have where all of us, four of us, lead worship, you know, in a
order.
In order, whatever. And then Pastor and I would have a message that would be relevant for them. And we usually try to, you know, choose a topic that, like, for example, last church we had to talk about homosexuality because Alex was, you know, saying two daddies, and I'm like, where is that coming from? So, you know, so we would address just different issues and talk to them, or sometimes it would be just fun story, and then we pray for the night, and kids love it. Sometimes we get tired, and I honestly just hope they're going to forget about it because, you know, we had a long day or something is going on. And they'll be like, today's family church. It's family church. They're not going to let you forget about it. And they really enjoy it.
If you do it consistently, they will remind you. It will become a part of your week. That's just a part. Like, Saturday is a family day. Wednesday is family church. Friday is a date night. I mean, they'll tell you. Mm-hmm. They'll remind you. They'll tell you what to do. And it's not like we have to make our kids to do that. They just already know it. They love it. And it's not like our service is an hour or 2 hours. It's 25 minutes at the most. You know, you want to keep it short for kids. You want to keep it fun. Some of you might say, well, I don't play piano. None of us are musical in the family. Just find the most musical person in your home and turn on CD and sing your worship song together. I know it will be awkward in the beginning, but if you start this from the beginning, especially now we have a few families who are just expecting babies, you know, start this from the beginning. And guys, you will have godly children. The devil will not steal our children from us. We will not have to cry later and say, God, what happened? We have to do our best. Now, what do you teach your children? This is just a quick one before we finish today. So what do we teach our children in order so they grew up in a godly, God-fearing, God-loving, and not depart from faith? What do we teach our children? Number one, we have to teach our children that they are not the center of the universe. Listen to me. A lot of kids grow up and thinking that, and a lot of people grow up thinking that God was born for them. That God is supposed to do everything that they say. And later when that doesn't happen, they're confused and they leave God. So if we don't get this right into them, their whole worldview will be confused. We have to teach our children that you were created for the glory of God. You were created to worship God. God wasn't created to worship you. You were created in a bigger plan of God. So when things happen in life, they will understand that, hey, I was created for God. God has a plan. It's not my will. He knows better. Right? So it's important for us to teach, number one, that kids are not the center of the universe. We have to put impart into them who is the center of their universe. How do we do that, parents? We do that by showing them that God is the center of the universe. How do you know who is the center of the universe for your life? It's whoever you give the most of your time. What gets the most of your time, except your work, I mean, after work? Is it a football game? Football game is great. It's good for our pleasure. But is that the center? You know all the stats, but you know no scriptures. You know no scripture stats. You know all the sports stats, or you know all the everything about hunting and guns, or you know everything about shopping and whatever, or you know everything about the internet. But what about the scripture? That's very, very important. Teaching your kids to love God. They were created for God and for His pleasure. Amen? The second thing, what do we teach our children, is the scripture by memory. Bless you up there. Do your children know scripture? Do they know any verses? Do you know that children learn verses so fast, it's not even funny? Our children learned like in one time, Psalm 23. I mean like this. Your children are the same way. It's not like our children are smart. It's just you have to repeat it a few times and they'll get it. Teach them about the Bible. Tell them the stories. But some of you don't read the Bible, so you don't know the stories. So that means you have to read the story and then tell your children about it. Go ahead.
And honestly, this is for all of you young people who are, you know, don't have any children, but you're young yourselves. The most Bible memory verses that I still remember are in Russian, because I learned them when I was 9, 10 years old. And now I'm trying to relearn them and, you know, and learn, memorize more verses. And I mean, pregnancy. I blame it on pregnancy. I just can't remember. It's just, you know, they don't stick. But back, you know, when you were 10, 11, 12, up to 16, I want to say, you have such sharp memory. Everything just, you're just reading it. It just gets into you and it stays there. So please, you will regret later on. You're going to be older. You're going to understand how vital this word is to your life. You're going to want to learn it. And you're going to be like, shoot, I should have done it when it was easy to memorize. Just a note.
Next thing, we got to teach them repentance and confession of sin. What happens when you, and we teach this by example as well. What happens if you get mad at your wife? Or wife, you get mad at your husband? God forbid, but what if you cuss him out in front of the children? This happens a lot in families these days. I hear this all the time. And then you forget about it, and then your kids are like, okay. They learn by example. So parents, it's important if you do mess up, if you get angry, if you cuss him out, you go and repent. Now, if you sinned in front of your family, then you need to repent in front of your family.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
First, you go and say, hey, kids, I sinned against your mom, I cussed her out. Or I sinned against your dad, I cussed him out. I ask you to forgive me. I did wrong. What I did was wrong before my spouse and before you. Second thing, you teach him to confess in front of God. So what you do is you say, please pray for me that God would forgive me. And I know He will, but I repent in front. But when do you do that if you don't have a set family time? If you don't have family church, you know, we are okay now, fine. We forgave each other. But what about the children? So when you sin publicly, you confess it and repent publicly.
Also important to apologize to your kids too. A lot of times we feel like, oh, they're little, whatever. It's very important because sometimes we want them to apologize to us when they do something wrong. But we sin against them too. We scream for no reason. We take our anger out on them. And we should be able to say, I'm sorry, I did wrong. Forgive me, please. They'll respect you more.
The reason we don't change, listen to me, is because we don't repent. If you repent in front of your children once, for real, in your family church, you will be super careful next time you're ready to cuss somebody out in your family. Mm-hmm. Trust me, that's how it works. The harder the repentance, the most likely you will not repeat what you did. If I got angry, if I got mad, blew up, and then I really came down and with my heart apologized in front of my family, Next time I would want to do that? Because it took effort, right? It took willpower. It took humility. And my flesh does not like to be humbled. So guess what? I'd rather not say a bad word next time instead of going to you and apologizing to you. Remember when I was young and how God taught me not to lie. And some of you heard this story. My pastor gave me an assignment, and I was 17 years old, and he asked me to send some mail newsletters to people. And a few days later, he asked me, "Did you send them out?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I did, Pastor." And they're in the trunk of my car. So I told him that I did. I lied to him, and then right away, I went to Lewis Drug, and I threw in the, I remember the day, I went in and threw in those newsletters, and I'm like, "Well, I'm good." And you know what Holy Spirit said to me? "Call him and tell him you lied to him." And I'm like, "What? I'll just repent before God." "No, you didn't sin first before God. You sinned before man. You have to call him." And I was so, I just, something came over me. Not condemnation, but conviction of the Spirit came over me so much where I was like, I couldn't do anything. It couldn't get out of my mind. It's like I had an anxiety or something until I apologized. And so I called the pastor and said, "Pastor, listen, when you asked me if I, you know, emailed the letters, I actually didn't. I lied to you. But I went right away and did them." And he's like, "Well, I'm glad you apologized. Thank you for calling me. Bye." Trust me, next time, I was more careful about my little lies. Why? Because I had to repent before the people. Try this. Try repenting for whatever your weakness is, whatever comes up a lot in your life, and watch how that thing will disappear out of your life. Try doing it not before God, but before people. It's easy to repent before God, because sometimes God is us. It's easy. "Oh, Lord, please forgive me. You know, I didn't mean it." But repenting in front of people will actually change your life. When you mess up with your wife, not just apologize, "Sorry, baby. Well, I'm fine." No, actually go think about it and come back and say, "Listen, what I did was horrible. I'm sorry. I sinned. It's not just, and I keep doing it." You know, when something keeps repeating, just tell them, I keep doing it. I just can't help it. I don't know what's going on. Pray for me. Really. Not just, "I'm sorry." Teach them to walk in love. Teach them how to forgive. Teach them how to save money. Teach them how to work hard. Parents, we've got so much to teach our children. And most of us are not teaching them at all. We just threaten them when they do something wrong. Or we punish them, or go to your room for doing that. Or go in a corner. That's not teaching. Bible says, train up a child in a way that he should go, and he will not depart from it even when he's old. I know it's a hard message to hear. But you know what? You can choose the pain of discipline now or the pain of regret for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It takes effort. It takes time. There's pain involved in disciplining your children and teaching them, and you know, it takes sacrifice. But you can teach them now, or you can regret for the rest of your life later. What are you going to do? What are you going to choose? And the last point is this: you will give account before God for how you raised your children. Do you know that? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says this: "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account." Father, you are a leader of your home. So guess what? You will give an account how you raised your children. And there will be no excuse, "Well, they made their own choices." Eve made a bad choice, but who was accountable? Say it. Eve made a bad choice, but who was responsible and accountable? Adam was. Yeah, we can make ourselves feel better that no, we did our best. Did we do our best? And so my challenge to you parents today is to take every opportunity. Don't wait for church to teach your children. We don't have enough time. It's your responsibility. God gave you an assignment. He entrusted you with souls, eternal souls. And He will ask you, what have you done with your children? And so today my challenge to you is this, and Tanya and I, we want to challenge you. If you don't have a family church yet during the week, start one. That's how practical it gets. We don't want to teach you something and then say, oh, great message, Pastor. That's why it's not a preaching, it's more of a talk. Start a family church. Well, we pray, but, you know, he prays here, I pray here, she prays by herself. No, start it together. When you're driving your kids somewhere, don't just play music as loud as you can so you can drown their noise out. Teach them something from the Bible. And the awesome thing about kids that they will never say to you, Dad, I don't want to hear that anymore. They'll say, tell us more. Kids love stories. Last word.
Personal stories too, because he's really good at telling stories and I'm not that good at it. So I love to talk to them about what God has done in my life, just personally, you know, starting from when I lost my little kitty and, you know, I prayed about it and I found them the next day. So, and they're like, wow, really? And I tell them God really cares about not just what Papa goes through, what Mama goes through, about job stuff. He cares about your little teddy bear that you can't find. And so, you know, so personal stories, big time too. Bible, but then what God has done in your life and for you, very important.
Amen. In your family church, you can pray for one another. You can tell your kids that you're struggling maybe somewhere in some area. Let them, they already see that you're struggling. Tell them that you're praying about it. Tell them that it's not okay what I'm going through right now. I'm trying to change. Tell your kids that. And ask them to pray for you. When you are sick, don't just wait for Sunday service to ask me to pray for you. Have your kids pray. The faith of a child is amazing.
Not even funny. Seriously. Every time when they pray for me, I know I'm gonna get healed. I just know because every time it works. It's just, they have that faith. They believe God. They take Him as at His word and it works.
Amen. Guys, please, in the world, people do not raise their children, mostly the world raises them. Let's not have that happen in our lives. Can we take responsibility for raising our children?
Amen.
No, seriously. Can you, Father, I challenge you to take responsibility. Mother, I challenge you to take responsibility for your family. If you don't have a family church, start one. Make it the same day, the same time. Give one of your kids an assignment to remind you. Even if when you forget, they'll remind you. You know that we miss that, having dinner together. Kids love having dinner together. They love being as a family. Build it. Tell them that God loves them.
The studies have shown that the most confident people, adults, had boundaries and routines as children. So boundaries and routines give our kids confidence because they know exactly where they are, and they feel good when they're in the boundary and the routine. And then when they are out, they know that something is wrong. I better get back in. So routine, you know, make it every, you know, weekly, daily, whatever you're doing, make it routine.